Just to let you know, we just welcome Adrian up. He'll be preaching today. This is going to be a very tough sermon for me to preach, but it's been on my heart, and I pray that you bear with me. This is a book of condemnation. Amen? Lots of silence around the room. Now, I can't possibly stand here in front of you and say that we are family and that I love people and not tell the truth and not be honest. So what is the truth? The truth is, this is a book of condemnation. This is also a book of hope, a book of love, and a book of restoration. Amen. Let us pray before we continue. Father God, we just thank you that we can be found in your house and in your presence. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds for the receipt of your word. And we pray that you would use this vessel so that each and every person will receive the word that is meant for them. In your name we pray. Amen. How many people use Google? You know, Google search? Yeah, quite almost all of us, right? So I put into Google, give me all the sons of Simon according to the Bible. And I was shocked at the search results because it is not on what we're going to be speaking about today. Now, how many people know someone called maybe John? We have a few Johns in church. There's JJ in the back. We have JT. How about Luke? Or Matthew? How about Peter? Simon? Andrew? My dad's name is Peter. Both his brothers were called Andrew and Simon. Now, how many people can honestly say that they know someone called Judas, son of Simon Iscariot? And why is that? Because the name is associated with deceit, treachery, betrayal. It's just unpopular. It's one of the most hated names in the Bible, the guy who betrayed Jesus. But how true is this? In fact, by definition, the name comes from the Hebrew Yedua, which is Judah. The Greek equivalent is Judas. And it means praise, thankfulness, praise to Yeshua. I bet when Jesus was born, his mother was full of love. And she was thinking, how can I show my gratitude to God? I'll call my son Judas. And did you know that there were actually two disciples that Jesus called that were called Judas? That's right. Son of James, Thaddeus. His name was also Judas. One believed and one betrayed. Yet the stigma associated with the name remains. Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. If you can turn to your Bibles, please. We'll ask Katie to read for us.
Evil spirits, and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. John, James's brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot. Judas Iscariot. Jesus sent the 12 disciples out with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received.
Okay. If you're taking notes, point number one. Judas was called, but he was never converted. What if I told you Judas was just an ordinary guy who was part of a good crowd? I mean, this guy was rubbing shoulders with the other disciples. He was personally called by Jesus. What better environment could he have been in order to develop and grow? Have you ever looked up to someone? Perhaps it's a role model, like someone famous. Growing up, there were many musicians. There was like Mariah Carey. There was Stephen Curtis Chapman, Christian. Okay, better. Elvis. Don't get all shook up. In today's equivalent, maybe you could be a closet Swiftie. For those of you not in the know, that is someone who likes Taylor Swift. Not to be mistaken for Switchfoot. Who's heard of Bon Jovi? Pretty famous? Yeah. Now, little Timmy was invited to participate in the Bon Jovi tour. And the deal was that Timmy could take two friends with him. Suddenly, Timmy had friends that he even didn't know that he had. Now imagine if you were one of the two friends that Timmy called. How would you feel? Would you feel some sort of pride? Puff your chest out? I mean, I'll be strutting around like, yeah. Ha, 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 look at me. Out of everyone, I was chosen. Now, Judas was personally called by the Messiah. He walked with Christ for 3 years. He witnessed miracles. He was empowered to preach the gospel and heal. Imagine having the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, and he even cast out demons. He had a good reputation. Yet, proximity to Christ is not the same as intimacy. What can we take from this? You can be around Jesus, his work, and still not have Jesus in your heart. A position in the church is not proof of salvation. Church attendance and ministry involvement is not the same as having a personal relationship with Jesus. We should examine our hearts and not our titles, because it's not the same as heart-level transformation. Point number two. Judas followed Jesus for the wrong reasons. Matthew 26, 14 to 16 says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought the opportunity to betray him." Now, many scholars note that Judas may have expected Jesus to establish a political or earthly kingdom. And the hypothetical is that Judas was fed up with Jesus not being the Messiah that he wanted him to be. And by betraying Jesus, Judas thought that he would be kickstarting this revolution. When Jesus did not meet his expectations, Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. In today's equivalent, you could say it's around $5,000. I've thought about this. Have you ever considered it? What would your cost be? Disappointment with God often reveals our expectations, not his promises. From this, we can learn to serve Jesus for who he is and not for what we want him to do. Point number three, if you're taking points. Judas had a private sin. Now, Mrs. Abel runs the Bible study at church, teaching others about Jesus. Mrs. Abel has a dirty little secret. You can find her at the pub every Friday night, drunk. Mr. Jones attends church every Sunday. And he is a powerhouse for Christ and a prayer warrior. But Mr. Jones is single. And every Monday morning you can see him leaving Miss Jessica's house. John 12:4-6. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. The context here is when Mary bought some very expensive perfume for 300 denarii, the money of the time, and she washed Jesus' feet with it. She was showing her devotion to Christ. It was representative of what Jesus meant to her and her belief in him. What does this passage reveal about Judas's true hidden issue of greed? Judas stole from the money bag long before he betrayed Jesus. He was a thief. From the passage here, it can serve as a warning of allowing material gain or secret sin to corrupt our devotion to Christ. Judas valued money more than his relationship with Christ. Private sin, if unrepented, always grows into destructive sin. The way it was explained to me when I first broached this topic is that Judas lusted for money. That lust grew within him. It festered in him until it became uncontrollable. Until it caused him to resent the Messiah and eventually betray him. What we can take from this is sin tolerated becomes sin justified. Sin justified becomes sin multiplied. His focus and true drive was not Christ. It was financial control. Deal with your hidden struggles before they deal with your destiny. Matters to consider. Did Jesus know that Judas was a thief? Do you believe God is all-knowing? It is impossible for God to learn anything. It is impossible for us to teach God anything. That's what omniscient means. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. I knew you before you were even formed in the womb. Not only did Jesus know that Judas was stealing, he also chose to show him love and provide him an opportunity for repentance despite that. What if you were in Jesus' shoes? How would you react? Second matter to consider. Did Jesus carry out the will of God by betraying Jesus? Wow, what a question. As Christians, we should be very careful on how questions are phrased. Non-believers often could use this as a gotcha question or a red herring. So let's be clear. God gives us free will. He does not will us as a causation to accept or reject him. What he often does do is use bad situations for his glory and will. What does the Bible say about this? In Psalms 41 verse 9, it prophesies the betrayal of Jesus. Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. Now the modern versions, like the NIV, will say that he turned against me. Zechariah 11, verse 12 to 13, foretells a payment of 30 pieces of silver for the shepherd. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighted my price for 30 pieces of silver. In these terms, we can see that it was prophesied that Judas would betray Jesus. So the answer to your question would be, yes, Judas did carry out the will of God by betraying Jesus. Not because God willed him to do so, but because God used his evil actions to fulfill his glory. Amen? Point number four. Judas had every opportunity to turn back. In John 13, verse 26 and 27, Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping in the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do it quickly." You are speaking to the devil. The scene here is the Last Supper. Jesus dipped the bread and handed it to Judas. It was a gesture of honor. It was a final invitation to repentance. But Judas hardened his heart, and Satan entered into him. Jesus asks us to repent because sin separates us from him. The love of Christ gives us opportunities to accept him. But we serve a God that is just. And part of being a just God is there has to be a price to be paid for sin. Think of it this way. I'm a thief. I go around robbing people, robbing stores. And eventually I'm caught. The cops catch up to me. And I appear in front of the judge. And I say, "Mr. Judge, I am so sorry. I will not do it again. No, I won't do it again. I won't steal anymore. Let me go." What do you think the judge would say? Say you've committed a crime. In order to be just, the punishment needs to be paid. Similarly, a price has to be paid for sin. Now, some modern churches take the showing of love to mean acceptance of sinful behavior by allowing it to continue instead of taking corrective action. This is not love. We cannot claim to love one another and have a love for people and not be honest at the same time, because love is truth. Unless we speak truth, we cannot possibly hope to reconcile anyone to God. What does Jesus say about this? In Matthew 7:23, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The verse is meant to emphasize the distinction of those who are true believers in Christ and those who do not align with his teachings. Something I often think about. People are okay with the sin that they are comfortable with, and they judge others harshly with the sin that they are uncomfortable with. What do you think about that? Jesus keeps giving us opportunities, but refusal eventually hands your heart to the enemy. When we are spiritually weak, that's when the devil takes hold. It takes root in our hearts, and it's fed by sin. Judas did not become a traitor overnight. His greed and secret stealing created a foothold for Satan to enter into him. The emphasis that holding on to unconfessed sin makes a believer vulnerable to demonic influence and spiritual destruction. If Christ is a reflection of the love that's in our hearts, can the case not be made equally so that Satan is a reflection of the evil that's in our hearts? Something to think about. Don't ignore God's gentle warnings. Grace rejected becomes judgment invited. Point number five. Judas regretted his sin. He did. But he did not repent of it. In Matthew 27, verse 3 to 5, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chiefs and elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What does this show us? It shows us that Judas felt remorse. It says intense remorse. But he did not feel repentance. Remorse changes your feelings. Repentance, true repentance, changes your direction. After realizing the gravity of his sin, Judas felt intense remorse and returned the money. But he ran to the wrong place. Who did he return the money to? He returned it to the chiefs and the elders instead of going to the Savior. Instead of seeking forgiveness, he ran into despair. And eventually, he committed suicide. Something to think about. Peter also betrayed Jesus. But Peter became one of the foundational leaders of the apostolic church. What can we take from this? Who you run to after you fall determines where you rise. When you fail, run to Jesus, not away from him. Jesus is the only one who can offer restoration from sin. In closing, Judas teaches us you can be selected but not surrendered. You can be gifted but not grounded. You can walk with Jesus but not walk like Jesus. Haven't we all betrayed Jesus too? Some people say, I would never do something like that. I would never betray Jesus. But every time we choose comfort over obedience, truth over sin, and sin over surrender, is that not betrayal too? It might look different, but it all comes from the same place. It's when we put something else above Jesus. Consider the second commandment. In Matthew 26, Judas sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Yet Jesus still washed his feet, even though he knew that Judas would betray him. I'm not sure if I could do that. Jesus showed love to the one that he knew would hurt him the most. Before we judge Judas, maybe we should examine our own lives. We've all betrayed Jesus at some point with our words, with our pride, and by our choices. The difference is what happens next. Judas ran from Jesus. Peter, who also betrayed him, ran to him. The cross proves this. Even if we have betrayed him, he still loves us. Grace doesn't stop at betrayal. That's where it starts. Amen? Grace doesn't start at betrayal. Oh, stop at betrayal. Grace doesn't stop at betrayal. That's where it starts. So if you've messed up and you think that you've gone too far, don't run away. Run back. Because Jesus already knew, and he still chose you. And that is so amazing. The tragedy of Judas was not that he betrayed Jesus. It's that he never believed in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your message that's come forth. We pray that it has provided each and every one of us with something that can draw us closer to you, Lord. That despite our failures, despite our sin, we know that you are the true restorer. And we thank you for providing us with that path and way to reconcile us to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.